Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with Wells Tech. This is episode 295 and part two of our Google Summit interview. Sally and I get to sit down with a couple of other attendees from the summit that was going on in Milwaukee at Discovery World, sponsored by Wisconsin Lutheran College. So stay tuned for that and much more.
This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You mentioned Rachel Pearson. Rachel, why don't we bring you in?
Sure.
You, like Anthony, were one of the presenters and shared some things that you have been doing. First of all, maybe introduce yourself, where you're serving.
Sure. I'm Rachel Pearson. I'm serving at Trinity Lutheran School in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where I am the sixth grade homeroom teacher. I'm very privileged this last year to have a classroom full of Chromebooks for the students to use all day, every day at school. So I attended the summit last year and got really excited about having Chromebooks in the classroom and tried to use them as much as possible in my classroom last year. So I was happy to share that with all the other teachers and educators that were here to see how it could be used in the elementary classroom.
So what specifically did you share with the folks here?
Everything.
She's done a lot.
I basically went through the main applications in Google Apps for Education and talked about some projects that I did with each particular app. So okay. I talked about documents and spreadsheets and presentations and drawings and
sure.
And then I also focused on some of the other websites and things that we use for projects like Glogster or
KidBlog. Huh?
KidBlog, yep, yeah. That's true too.
Okay. So I'll ask both of you. You get the sense that most of the people here are just new to Google and Google Apps and the whole ecosystem. Or are they just kind of looking to take the next step, or is it a real mix?
I think I've seen a mix for the most part, but a lot of newbies who are a little bit intimidated. They keep saying it's like drinking from a fire hose or whatever, you know. But the best analogy I heard was from, I think it was from Molly Schrader, one of the presenters, and she said, consider it a buffet. And we all go to the buffet with our plate the first time, and some people are done then, and that's enough, and they're satisfied, and they need to deal with that, and other people go back a second or a third or maybe even a fourth time. So yeah, it's been at every level and there's been something for everyone. Rachel, I don't know, did you learn new things this year?
There were a few things that I had no idea about that I can take back and use in my classroom. I think the main thing that I'm going to take away for this year is to use Google Sites more as portfolios for my sixth graders, and then to encourage them to keep using that site as they move through our school and maybe even into high school if we transfer out their files after they're done. So lots of tips and tricks, and you just need to pick your favorite thing that you learn and run with it.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I don't know about you. I'm kind of befuddled by Google Sites. I don't think it's gone very far. They've moved it very far down the road. Am I missing something? Is this a nugget, in the rough that if you know how to use it, you can really make it beneficial? I just find it a little bit kludgy, a little bit behind some of the other kind of content management systems out there.
They have updated Google Sites, maybe not as much as some of the other applications,
right,
like moving just Google Docs into Drive, where
sure,
there's a hub of everything.
Right.
They have made updates to it, so it's a little bit easier to use.
Mm-hmm.
But so we start out working on a site collaboratively with our whole class working on one site, and then we'll probably progress into each of the students doing their own site after that.
Okay.
So I do think that a good selling point if you're a Google Apps school and you're using Drive and presentations and Blogger is that they're all very easily connected to a site.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you buy into the Google infrastructure, sites is probably the way to go. Yeah,
you don't
exactly
have to buy in. It's free.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very easy to embed a document or to embed a presentation.
Definitely.
Or a slideshow or a YouTube video, yep,
mm-hmm,
into a Google site. So if you're collecting information that way and learning about a certain topic, it's easy to collect everything into one spot.
Definitely.
So now, are you in a position of training the teachers bringing them along? Are you kind of the only one doing this, or are they kind of interested and they just need you to kind of shepherd them?
Our whole school is Google Apps. All of our students have accounts. However, it's basically the upper graders that are using them right now. Mm-hmm. I know our 7th and 8th graders used documents to write their research papers last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're still working out our new wireless access point system, and we had some kinks with that, but that's going to happen. And I know our 5th grade teacher, she started them off using documents, too. I did do teacher training. We had a monthly hour that we spent together, and I went through each of the apps with them.
Sure.
It's going to take time. It's like you can't learn it all in a week, even though you would love to. There's always things that you can learn that are new and ever-changing.
Sure.
So,
speak to the economics a little bit about how you got a Chromebook in front of every child. Was that something that the school did, something that you worked collaboratively with the parents to do a co-op buy, or the parents bought outright?
We had considered a couple of different options. Obviously, we considered to have the parents buy them right out, but then we realized, you know, that's not going to be an option for many of the families. So what we did is we held what we called the Trinity Trot. Where the kids took a folder and went around to businesses and to families and said, we're upgrading our science lab, we're upgrading our computer lab, would you please consider donating? So we actually brought in, I would say, $20,000. I know, massive. So we got rid of all of our desktop computers and went completely mobile. The wireless access points were probably the most expensive out of everything. But our whole building, our whole school building is covered now. So the school did decide to buy the Chromebooks outright. And as they progress, each sixth grade class will get a new set, and then they travel through eighth grade. And the plan is right now that once they're done with eighth grade, the school will offer to the parents at whatever the market value is. Mm-hmm. So they may choose to purchase them, and if they choose not to, then the school will either sell them to someone else or eBay or whatever will work at the time. So we're always hoping that the sixth grade class can get a new set every year.
Okay.
Awesome.
Very nice.
Sounds like a great plan.
We hope so.
Great tech person on board to lead it. So.
Thank you.
Rachel, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for everything you're doing as well with the tweet ups, you know, that you would do.
Trying.
Slow start, but I think there's potential there to get Lutheran educators or Wells educators and things like this, you know, the networking I'm sure that goes on here will only help that too. So.
Lots of good Twitterers.
Awesome.
And we'll see Rachel again in September at Wells Tech Camp.
Yes.
She's on our planning
committee.
Looking
forward to that.
Yep.
Absolutely. Great.
Thanks
Rachel.
Have a good day.
Appreciate it. Sally was our last guest, last
patiently
but not least.
Waiting. This is one
He's
of those.
Probably, we probably made him miss supper or something.
Yeah, this is one of those more newbies, and so it's good to hear a fresh voice. This is Pastor Dustin Yonke joining us from Faith in Sussex, Wisconsin, just outside of Milwaukee. And he's a Superman, apparently. Dressed up for the podcast.
Yeah, I'm not my normal pastoral guy.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. We're happy to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, and I mentioned you're probably one of the more newer Google Apps kind of person, so
yep.
A great person to give us some feedback on what you've learned. First of all, maybe tell us a little bit more about your responsibilities there at Faith and
sure.
That kind of thing.
I am one of the two pastors at Faith Lutheran Church in Sussex, and I teach confirmation there and you know, preach and teach. And then we have a school that we operate jointly with St. John's Lannan, and it's at the school that I'll teach confirmation class. And then last year, I was given the privilege, or actually 2 years ago, I was given the privilege of teaching art class to the 7th and 8th graders. And St. John's has recently become a Google Apps school, and I want to be consistent with the way they're teaching and some of the goals they've set there, not only in art, but I thought also, you know, there might be a way to harness some of the power of the Google Apps and use that in enhancing or even transforming the way we pass on the truths of God's Word to our young people in our schools and our churches.
So as somebody kind of fresh, you know, to the Google, you know, experience, excuse my phone.
A little musical entertainment.
Yep. As somebody new to that scene, what struck you in these first couple days that, you know, maybe even surprised you?
Oh, honestly, this, being somewhat new to this, my head has just been swimming. And I, you know, as I listened to Sally ask all the other people, what's the big takeaway, I tried to think of what I would give for an answer for that, but and similar to your question, but there's just so much that I've taken in. You know, I've got a blank sheet of paper that I came with, and I didn't want to take notes on each sectional, but what I wanted to do was write down ideas that came to my mind as on how to use this technology in a classroom setting, in a confirmation setting, as I listened. And that page is full today, as of today. So it's, what is it, Wednesday?
Yeah.
So we've got two more days of the conference. Yeah. So there's all kinds of ideas that I've got swimming around up there. In fact, as I laid down last night to get some sleep, it was a long day, and I just couldn't get to bed because all the ideas were running through my mind, and I wanted to get up and work, but I knew I needed to get some rest.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So where do you see... more of a broader question, as a pastor, where do you see technology and ministry intersecting, you know, even more as your ministry progresses?
You know, especially with the youth, as I teach confirmation class, every teen has their phone, mm-hmm. you know, and even when you ask them to put them away, they're maybe still down
yep.
there a little bit.
Yep.
And rather than to have that be a constant temptation for them, why not integrate it?
Sure.
Why not make it a tool that we can use? And another part of with confirmation class, and part of the reason I came to Google Summit, was I wanted to try to work on ways to get rid of some of the things that we do in class
sure.
and move it out of the classroom so classroom can be
right.
on things that I can build with them and things I can teach them that they can't get elsewhere. So some assessment I want to try to bring out of the classroom, some even background. You know, without commenting too much on the state of, you know, parents and families and Christianity in general,
yeah.
I just avoiding that, but just saying, you know, I see a need to get kids familiar with certain passages from God's Word before they come into class so that we're ready to talk about it. And so one of the things I'm trying to implement now in part of this APEX project is to have a form that the kids fill out, and when they finish filling out the form, that shows me they've read certain passages and so are familiar, at least on that fact question level. You know, what did the Bible say here? You know, they can answer that. And I get a form back saying they've answered this, and then I can send a response to them so they can bring in the sheets and questions that we will use in class then that day.
Uh-huh.
So it outsources some of the things that we would normally tie up in class.
Sure.
And so it frees us up. And that's just one of the ways that have come to mind to use it. As I've gone through the conference.
So kind of flipping things around and, you know, engaging them in more than just that once a day or once a week experience.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. I think that you just are a great way for us to wrap up this segment of our show today, because I can just feel your excitement. And that's what I feel in the room with the other 90 teachers and various educators, administrators that are here. Google Apps get you excited. And the potential is there. It's not just the nuts and bolts of how to use it, but how to apply it and do creative things with it that we're learning here this week.
Yeah.
So, very
Justin
exciting.
Or Dustin, I'm sorry. Blessings on your ministry and your use of technology in it.
Thank you.
So. Mm-hmm. Sally, we should do a quick wrap up. First of all. You have to introduce one of the projects that you went through here at Google Summit.
Yeah.
At Discovery World.
Kind of interesting. We actually got to bottle Google Vice beer. So they made a special brew of honey Vice for us, and we went through the bottling process and learned some chemistry around it. They printed up special labels, which we attached using milk, of all things. Apparently milk is kind of sticky when the water evaporates, so
uh-huh.
it will stay attached to the bottle. You have to let it sit for 4 days,
okay.
warm. It's got some yeast in there, and going to do some carbonating, and then we're going to break open that bottle and give it a taste. So that
you're
was
not,
fun.
Not just learning Google technology, you're learning
That's
Google
right.
beer.
A full
well.
Day at this beautiful museum.
Yeah,
so we
absolutely.
Really enjoyed that.
So you've got 3 days now kind of under your belt.
Mm-hmm.
What stuck out in your mind as kind of the high points or things that, you know, those light bulb moments, as you would say?
Sure. Well, I think for me, just the exposure to the great presentations.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is take it and share it with our Wells Tech community
mm-hmm.
so that little pieces of the puzzle can become more clear to them.
Right.
And Pastor Yonke mentioned that we're doing APEX projects, so this is a 4-credit course. We have to develop a Google site. We have to implement all these different bells and whistles that we've been learning about. And my goal is to develop a site that we can share with Wells at large that would be how to get started. What are examples of creative things people are doing?
Yep.
So
okay.
That's kind of my takeaway, is to do something special for you guys.
Sure.
We'll see.
So you've seen, and obviously the comparison is between, in many cases, between Apple and Google, you know, in the educational space. You're an iPad user. You kind of know that space a little bit now. You've got some of the Google environment as well. Compare those two. What's the best fit for maybe most of our listeners?
Well, I think this is a great go-to little device. I'm really excited about the Chromebook. We all got...
You hadn't used one before.
I hadn't.
Okay.
Unboxed it here. We all got Chromebooks as part of the class.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I've
got one right here.
Yeah. Being an...
this is actually an older one, I think.
Yeah, maybe I should show mine.
Yep.
It's got a little bit different look to it.
Samsung is probably the major manufacturer of Chromebooks. This was one of their first ones. I have another one that's white. They made a black one. And now this is the $249 model plus the $30 administration fee to get it hooked up in Google Apps.
Right. So it's got a nice trackpad. I brought my DSLR camera, so it has an SD slot here on the side, so I can just plug right in and copy files from that. There is like a 30 gig drive in here.
Okay.
They don't make much, you know, to do about that, because you really can't install software on there.
Right,
but
you can save files.
Save files there.
Gmail can be synced down, right?
Right. It has a couple of USB drives, and a 2.0 and a 3.0 drive on the back, as well as HDMI, and then power. Really happy with the webcam. I have a wireless mouse plugged in, because I'm not a big fan of trackpads.
Yep.
It works
and
like a charm.
And the trackpad is only okay.
Yeah.
You know, with these,
yeah. A little bit of orienting didn't take me long to be up and running, though. I'm recommending this for my college-age son now, who's heading off in the fall. He's got a really nice laptop, but why drag that around to class with you? Just get something lightweight.
Sure.
Then super
battery
thin.
Life.
Yeah.
Good.
I think they say six, seven hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Depending on usage. So. Obviously, you have to be online. So one of our goals for this podcast was for everybody to be on Chromebooks. That didn't happen, not because the Chromebooks couldn't do it, but because of the infrastructure here, you know, at Discovery World, where we've got all these Googlers in here, you know, hogging
the
Wi-Fi. Yeah. So we had to go with Plan B, so that's why we had a little bit different format today.
One fun component of the week were the special presenters that were here. There were presenters that are consultant type folks that go all over the world running these Google summits. And I actually got little short snippets that we're going to integrate into the podcast with each one of them. They all talked. It was kind of like a boot camp almost. We started at the beginning with Google Docs and worked our way through the different apps. And so I'll start maybe with Molly Schrader. She shares with us some ideas about inserting images into different drive type files. So you can do this with docs and presentations and things, and she has a little tip on that.
I'm Molly Schrader. I'm a Google certified teacher and Google Apps certified trainer. And one of my favorite tips and tricks from Google is when you're going to insert something into a Google Doc or a Google presentation, even a Google Drawing, when you click on insert image, most people look and they try to find an image that's on their computer. But they don't realize that you can also take a snapshot from your webcam and put it right into the doc or the presentation. You can also grab the URL of any picture that you have rights to do so online, as long as the URL ends with like .jpg or .png. But the newest feature is down below, there's a button called Search. And if you click on Search, there are three different ways that you can insert images. So the first one is Google Search for just free to use and share images. So it's a great, like, advanced search that you can find images there. The second one is all the life photos that they have had in the magazines are available for you to insert into any doc, presentation, drawing. And then the third one is stock images. And Google has started purchasing a bunch of stock images for people to use in their docs and presentations. And so kids and teachers can find really, really nice photos to use right within that search app. So that's my tip and trick.
So next up was Molly's partner. They are consultants at FlippedEducation.com. His name is Ben Friesen. And Ben, I was sat in on his presentation about Google Sites. And you mentioned Google Sites and the things you could do with them. One thing he shared was a way for teachers to automate the creation of sites so you don't have to go manually and create 30 web pages for each individual kid in your classroom. There's a script called PageMeister, and Ben will tell us a little bit about that and how it can work for you. It was really, really fun, and they had an Oompa Loompa doing the work for them, so they flashed up this picture of Oompa Loompas from Willy Wonka.
Hi, my name is Ben Friesen, and I want to highlight a super cool script called PageMeister. And this is by Andrew Stillman, and if you Google that, you'll find it. But what it does is it's really cool. It takes information from a form, like an email and a page title, and you run the script, and what it does is it automatically generates pages in a Google site for each student. So, for example, if you're doing a project on the 1920s, and you assign the students a project or allow them to actually select their own topic, they'll enter their email and their page topic into a form, and it automatically creates the site pages for them. And you can even select a template for it to create it with. So, like, for example, you could create a page template with the rubric. So then at the bottom of each page, the student would already have their rubric ready to go in their page, and they could start building it immediately. And it takes the hassle out of the creation of the site page and really puts it on the content, and that's why I like PageMeister.
Today I had the chance to sit in David Chan's presentation. David did the keynote today for us here at Discovery World, and he taught a lesson on Google Groups. And, you know, I never had really thought about using Groups with my class.
Pretty powerful.
It's almost like an Edmodo kind of environment. And one thing he said was the threaded discussions and things are all archived. Even the chats are archived. And if you have chat turned on in a document, that's not archived. So, you know, for tracking purposes and management things, he really recommended Google Groups. And so that was kind of new for me. And I enjoyed his presentation. He recorded a little snippet, and it's really cool to hear him speak.
Hi, my name is David Chan. I'm a Google certified teacher and apps trainer. And today I talked about Google Groups in the classroom. And I really like Google Groups in the classroom, as I mentioned to these charming folks, because every student has a voice. And allows students to all collaborate and work on a discussion thread, either set up by their teacher or having students also create their own threads or discussion pieces, allow them to communicate with each other in almost real time. You have to refresh, but they get to see each other's work, and it gives every student that voice. So the student that's maybe a little shy, may not be willing to participate in class, raise their hand. It allows teachers to call on everyone all at once, and it allows students to really engage with each other in a discussion, safe, online, moderated format. So that's Google Groups. Love it. Check it out.
And the last two presenters, these guys are like rock stars. We're all just kind of in awe of them because they're teaching us all this cool stuff. A pair of guys, they blog and present things over at the edtechgurus.com. And their names were Caleb Hunt and Nick Bakke. And Caleb talked to me a little bit about sites as well and the basics of editing Google Sites. And Nick shared some information about blogging and ideas for classroom blogging. He did a presentation on Blogger specifically, which maybe people don't know, but that's a Google product as well.
Okay.
So
cool.
Lots of great information shared.
Hi, my name is Caleb Hunt. I am a Google certified trainer, and I teach at the Cashin Public Schools in Cashin, Wisconsin. I teach special education. I came to the Google Education Summit to teach all the wonderful teachers about Google Sites. The thing with Google Sites is that there are three main buttons that you're going to need to know about. One is the edit page button, and that's going to edit your page that you're currently on. The create new button, which is creating a new page. And you have manage site, and that's where you manage everything that's not page specific, more of site wide. Example of that would be if you want to change your title, if you want to change your navigation bar, you're going to go manage site. Edit site layout is in that category as well. Other than that, we also talked a little bit about Drive this week, Blogger, and we do Maps tomorrow. So I hope everybody had a great time.
Hi, my name is Nick Bakke. I am a middle school social studies teacher. I am a Google certified trainer for apps for education. The wonderful conference this year, we've been talking about Google Docs, we've been talking about Google Drive, sites, calendars. I just finished up a presentation on Blogger, and I just want to kind of give a shout out for any of you that are using Blogger to be able to help communicate with your students from other students across the world. I have students working in a Venezuela community blog. I have my own students doing compare and contrast blogs, and we have a lot of responses. So please take that away from our Google Apps for Education ceremony, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
So if you're watching this, you're probably knowing that we spent, you know, two episodes on this, 294 and now 295, which brings us to 296. And since we don't have our notes in front of us, unless, Sally, your memory is better than mine, I have no idea what's next week.
Well, we're going back to our ebook, Martin.
And oh,
we're
that's
gonna
right.
talk about
chapter three.
About pages and what to expect pages.
That's
so
right.
if you're orienting someone new to your website, it's nice to have those kind of pages for your visitors.
Okay.
And that's the goal.
Very good. Thank you, everybody, for joining us from Discovery World in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Google Summit. Tune in next week. We'll have more good stuff for you.